Just a few announcements today. First of all, it's so good to be back here at St. Patrick's. I will be with you for another year, so I'm happy about that. I have to go back to school to study, to continue to study canon law. So I will have to leave you sometimes to go to Ottawa in Canada. There is no closest opportunity. Otherwise, I would not go so far. So, yes, that's a big change for me in my life this year. I have to go back to school, so hopefully I'm not too old. So thank you for your prayers. Ken Garner will stay with us too, even if he will have to help more in Sheboygan. But he's with us. Thank you very much. Have a good Labor Day weekend. Tomorrow, Mass will be at 9 a.m. instead of 6:30 a.m. More appropriate for Labor Day. Thank you for your attention. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Behold, a dead man was carried out. This man had been in the bloom of youth. This young man was enjoying life in all the vigor of health and strength. Moreover, he was the only son of his sorrowing mother, the only consolation left to her in her widowed state. Thus we note that death has no respect for age or health, reaping without distinction the young and the old, the great and the lowly. Dear faithful, what happened in Nain? Two processions met. The first was a funeral cortege involving a large crowd of residents of the city, transporting to the cemetery the body of a young man whose life was cut down in the springtime of life. The mourning was intense, as it always is whenever someone with so much life ahead of him suddenly dies. And what could be more poignant than a mother's weeping over the death of her only child? But in this case, dear faithful, the darkness was even worse. The woman was a widow. In Jewish culture and throughout the Middle East, it was a man's duty to provide for a woman. So when a husband died, it was a duty of the eldest son to care for a mother. Without a man to provide for her and no social welfare state, she was now going to be reduced to being a beggar, someone destitute, abandoned, and helpless. But as this death march was heading out through the gates of the city to the burial ground, that was also located outside of the city walls for reasons of space as well as public health, they met a different procession. Jesus was heading in surrounded by his disciples and a large crowd of followers. When Jesus saw the woman, his heart was moved with pity, a life-changing compassion that we need to stop to consider more often. There are two times, there are two other times in the Gospel when Jesus raised people from the dead. When he resuscitated his friend, Lazarus, after he had been in the tomb, for 4 days, and when he told the deceased daughter of Jairus, the synagogue official, "Little girl, rise up." In both circumstances, prior to their death, there had been a request for Jesus' assistance. Martha and Mary had written Jesus that Lazarus was dying and asking for him to come. And Jairus had come up to Jesus to ask him to come urgently and heal his daughter lest she die. Jesus worked both of those miracles in response to faith. In this case, in our gospel today, however, the woman didn't do anything. She didn't ask anything. We don't know whether she had faith or not. Her son was dead and a bier, and most of her had died with him. But Jesus, moved by compassion, made the first move, and in the process brought faith to her, to all those in Nain. Jesus began by doing a couple of things that were totally unconventional and, on the surface of it, terribly cruel. Think of it, he told the grieving mother, "Do not weep. I would not suggest anyone try to say that at the wake to mourning family members." But it got worse. Jesus stepped forward, touched the bier, and got all the pallbearers to stop. This gesture would be like someone walking out into the center of the road and stopping a hearse on the way to the cemetery. And after those startling words and shocking action, Jesus said and did something that no one had requested, that no one had dreamed possible. "Young man, I tell you, arise." The boy sat up, began to speak, and was restored to his mother. None of the mourners could understand it. It was the last thing that anyone thought would occur as they were accompanying a corpse to a cemetery. But the death march had met with Jesus' liturgical procession of life. And life triumphed over death. Dear faithful, the mourners accompanying a mother in misery met the Messiah full of mercy. The people of Naim responded by glorifying God and saying that God has visited his people. Little did they know how literally true these words were. Dear faithful, the miracle of the resurrection of the young man of Naim, performed in response to his grieving mother, a widow, is a foretaste of our own baptismal resurrection. Jesus, moved by the tears of our mother, the church, approaches our souls lying in the dust of sin and raises them to the life of grace. This is the meaning of Catholic baptism. We are like the risen Christ who came out of the tomb. We were deprived of grace, and now we can live with grace. The church, like a widowed mother, intervenes in favor of each of her children as she would do for an only son. And so, the meaning of our life is just this. Washed in the water of baptism, we must live as Christians. It's not about being up to date, but about living for eternity. Since our baptism, we now live as a risen people, as a forgiven sinner. Concretely, it means that as long as we are in this life, we are in a permanent combat to gain victory before death. Death will, in a moment, take from us the money and other things that we have amassed with so much troubles. But death cannot take from us the good we did, the alms we have given, and the other works of charity we have performed. These shall be safely stored up for us in heaven by Jesus himself. Death will strip us of all our possessions, but it cannot take from us the beautiful robe of sanctifying grace. Death cannot take from us our prayers, our frequent confessions, and holy communions. Death cannot take from us our constant connection with God. These things will remain with us and follow us into eternity. As we see in the Gospel of today, Jesus is our life. He is our Savior. He's with us in our trials and uses his divine omnipotence, his divine power to alleviate us. The miracle of the resurrection of the son of the widow of Naim is an expression of the delicacy of Jesus' love for us. The resurrection of the young man was implored by his mother's tears. Let ours be implored every day by our good deeds, by the tears of repentance in our hearts, by our humility and trust. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.